Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Well, good morning, Swami. Thanks for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the body of Christ and the Holy Communion in Kriya Yoga terms. Listen as we explain a different way of looking at these Christian concepts. In this show, we will go into some of the benefits of union with the mystical body. Swami will also shed some light on the Trinity. The idea of three persons in one God and a human is made in the same image makes more sense when you use a three-body system. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance. Get the light in your soul and pray on prana. So Swami, Corpus Christi commemorates the sacrament of Holy Communion in the Roman Catholic Church. This includes the receiving of the Eucharist, which Christians believe symbolizes the body and the blood of Christ. Can you start us off, and like we said in the summary, let us know, shed some light on Corpus Christi in Kriya Yoga terms.
Yeah, Corpus Christi means body of Christ, and it can be interpreted as anointed body, that a consecrated body is a prerequisite to union with the Spirit. And Holy Communion is an interesting concept, I think, created by the Church, along with forgiveness of sin and the Mass, with the changing of bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, this transubstantiation, they call it. And I kind of agree with Ralph Waldo Emerson that I really think that the Church blew the halt of the Eucharist. And the reason is that I think it's good to have symbolism, but it's kind of like it's nice to have a map if you're going on a destination, but the map is only a tool and it doesn't equal your journey. And I think with spirituality, it's the same thing. And once you understand the physics of spirituality, that symbolism can be a helpful tool, but it's not what it is that you're trying to accomplish. And this whole belief in your map, I think, keeps people from experiencing the journey of true spirituality. Because what you're actually trying to do with religion is you're trying to relink, or in yoga, you're trying to yoke or union, but it's with a different dimension of reality. And if you do, it's kind of like reverse engineering something, that if you actually join with bread and wine instead of this invisible, intangible resource, you haven't really made any change. You haven't separated from things visible and tangible. So you've joined with something that's visible and tangible. And it's a lot easier to do, I grant you that. But the problem is that you're now drawing from a resource of energy that is limiting. You haven't separated from what it is that you are supposed to separate from, which is things visible and tangible, and then join with something that's invisible and intangible. And that's where I think it can be somewhat confusing for a lot of us. And then, of course, what happens with the whole thing is what in yoga they call it avidya, and in the Bible they call it false gods. So you start identifying a lesser experience with a true mystical state of being. And that was the term that was called sin. You miss the mark. You're off point. And it's not something that can be forgiven. It's a condition that has to be corrected, that you have to separate from things visible and tangible and join with this invisible, intangible resource. And again, to look back and say body of Christ might mean the anatomy of this person that you think was born 2,000 years ago, or you can refer to it as two words meaning an anointed body or a consecrated body, which now makes sense to me, because if we purge our bodies of this original sin, this pattern that we come in with, that we're looking for things visible and tangible, now you've created an opportunity that you can now change what it is that you're looking for to validate yourself. And then in the framework of doing that, that's where I think the Trinity can be helpful. Mm-hmm. Because now the Trinity gives us clues into the nature of reality, multidimensional, that we have options. And everything is going to be contingent upon what energy field or what dimension of reality we align ourselves with.
Well, I'm glad you had mentioned Emerson, because I had jumped on the Unitarian Universalist Association website, and this information I got from them, and they say that Emerson believed we cultivate our own character and through this cultivation become agents of good or evil in the world. Further, cultivation of character is grounded in an unmediated experience of the sacred one that occurs by looking inward. Finding that spark of divinity within us, it is possible to have a direct, transcendent experience of the holy. I thought that was pretty interesting, because you always talk about that it really has to come from us from within. We have to do the work to get that connection.
Yeah, and it is a connection, and it is a real experience. And there are changes that happen with this. The term was called conversion, that you're using a different source of sustenance. And like Emerson said, that cultivation becomes an agent of good or evil. And a lot of it is going to be determined upon what energy field we draw from, because the term evil is also an archery term, and it means anything that isn't the mark. So it's not a question of conduct or behavior, that it is really a matter of what source of sustenance do I align with. What is it that I desire is what it comes down to, or what is it that I love?
Well, interesting, because I have a passage from Pope Francis that from Twitter from November 23rd of 2013. And he says, the sacraments are Jesus Christ's presence in us. So it is important for us to go to confession and receive Holy Communion. So my not being brought up Catholic, I don't really understand the whole confessional and that type of thing. So, but I think it comes into play with what you were just talking about, and that is, we can't have somebody do it for us. Can't just go to confession and confess our sins and then expect to become holy.
Right, and the reason is because it's not something, a sin isn't an incident that can be excused. It's a condition that has to be corrected. And when you have a system that doesn't provide you with the correction, then you perpetuate the same problem. And that was what the Bible called false gods and what the Yoga Sutras call avidya, ignorance, which is mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. And now when you have a population of people that are conforming to this type of thinking, that it doesn't really go anywhere, and you have a tendency to pretend that you're doing better than you are, because there is a difference between worldly happiness, intellectual happiness, and eternal happiness. But if you don't understand, because you don't have the experience of them, then worldly happiness can be just fine for you. And why would you even want to do anything to change that? And that was, again, coming back to what von Goethe said, none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe that they're free. So if you think things are going great for you and everything's fine because you are worldly happy, then you're a little short-sighted and you don't really have a clear understanding of where this is going, and you don't have any clue in how to get out of it.
Isn't that, like you said, I think that could be a problem or a challenge that we all have, and renouncing the world, isn't that what you always say? We have to renounce the world to take that next vertical leap.
Yeah, and again, that isn't abstaining from the world, isn't what you're trying to do. You're actually trying to separate from your attachment to the outside world, but you want to join with a better resource. This is an upgrade. It's not just sitting around in hopes of some reward at the end of your term here on the planet, that you actually connect to a resource of energy that gives you a better return.
Right. So again, that is the challenge that I think most of us have as well. You know, how do we do that? And I know you say, well, give us a call. Call the ashram. You know, attend the Theory 2 classes.
Right. Get involved in what we're doing. But first of all, you have to understand that there aren't a lot of people out there that are doing what we're doing. And so some of the things in the framework of doing this is that you have to recognize that like attracts like. And when you are confronted with something that doesn't feel good, then you want to be an educated consumer. I mean, because just because it doesn't feel good isn't a good indicator. But if it is threatening to what you're doing, then I think you got a better chance of getting out of what you're doing and maybe experiencing something better and different. And that's, again, you know, it's hard to market something that people just don't have any concept of what you're doing. It's like talking to somebody about clean air who was born and raised in L.A. They don't know until they go to Montana. And the same is true with Kriya Yoga. You just don't know the difference between worldly happiness and eternal happiness until you separate from your attachment to things visible and tangible and join with something that's invisible and intangible. And that does require a certain leap of faith, belief, not trust without reservation, or belief without proof. But you have to have a certain element of trust without reservation that this other source of sustenance is going to be there for you. And that's exactly what we do with our program.
We're going to pause right there to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll return in a few moments. Kri Breathe Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, I'd like to go back and talk a little bit more about Trinity Sunday. And this information I am quoting from Wynn Calendar. And Trinity Sunday honors the Holy Trinity and serves as a reminder for all it has done to salvage humanity from its sins. The Holy Trinity is the Christian belief that God consists of three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So theologically, the Trinity is a common thread amongst most Christian faiths. Trinity Sunday falls on the Sunday following Pentecost, which was actually yesterday. So, Swami, can you give us your views on the Holy Trinity?
Yeah, to me, I think the Trinity is more of an important myth. Again, it's a central theme universal to all humans. And it can be very helpful in the process of a human becoming divine, this thing called apotheosis, that a lot is really lost in translation and belief in characters oftentimes. And again, my experience with the Christian view of the Trinity was it was something that you believe in. And again, like you said in your little presentation there, that it was helpful in eradicating sin. And I would agree with that, in especially if you look at the way I view sin and the way that I view the myth of the Trinity, that reality is multidimensional. And that the human is made in the image and likeness of the divine. But it's one thing to believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's another thing to recognize that we visit three dimensions of reality every day when we go from waking state to dream state to dreamless state. And to me, there's your Trinity. And then that makes reality multidimensional, which is, again, a very interesting term. Because of the Trinity, things are real on different levels, right? So you've got your objective reality, which is visible and tangible reality, and that's how things appear to us. Then we have our subjective reality, which is tangible but invisible, and that's how we envision things to be. But then there's also this omnijective reality. This is invisible and intangible. It is where everything is happening at once. It's the realms of endless possibilities. And when you are accustomed to using a multidimensional reality system, and you're accustomed to recognizing the forces that are at work in the universe, the creating, the sustaining, and the dissolving forces of the universe, then you've got a better handle on how we're creating reality. That we create our reality with the thoughts we think, with the feelings we harbor, with the beliefs we accept. And it's also the scenes that we rehearse in the studio of our minds. That how we think is what we become. But there's all of this other stuff that has to be in alignment with it in order to actually affect changes in the realms of appearances. But once you get a handle on it, then of course you put yourself in a different position. When we understand how things are manifesting, when we understand how we're creating reality, if we don't like it, we can change it. Otherwise, we feel like victims. Everything is happening to us.
But isn't it going to be hard to change if we don't like something that's going on in our lives or how we think, especially if it's based on a belief system? I mean, I would think that would be the most difficult part, is to A, understand what your belief system is, and then B, to really make positive changes, you may have to change what it is that you believe in.
Oh, absolutely. And everything's going to come down to an individual's level of consciousness and their degree of awareness. And that's the beauty of the Kriya Yoga that we teach, is that it really targets, we can change our field of awareness. We can open the mind. That when we rebirth the body, when matter and mind come together with this other energy field, then your mind starts to open. And so that becomes solution to a lot of the common problems that most of us struggle with. Because you can have a conscious mind that's small, and it can move through these different dimensions of reality. It happens when we fall asleep. But when the conscious mind opens, and now you can see things that are happening objectively, subjectively, and omnijectively, simultaneously, now you understand that the subjective state of reality is a map. And it gives you clues into how to change either the destination or the journey that you're on. So you really do make a transition, that you go from the victim to the creator. But you have to be taught how to do this from somebody who can do it.
Interesting. Well, I also wanted to talk a little bit about the Nicene Creed that I also printed from Wynn Calendar. And it says that the Nicene Creed is often recited during Mass for many denominations, and it affirms the Trinity. The creeds are a profession of faith. So here's the Nicene Creed as it was printed on Wynn Calendar. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. And then what I also thought was interesting, that Wynn Calendar also had stated, was that the Trinity does not explicitly appear in the Bible, that it was actually an interpretation and belief in the three-in-one God came out of several councils in the early church that wrestled with the question of the divinity of God, the Creator, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Now, my question to you is, in this creed, it says that he is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. Now we have, in Kriya Yoga, we have talked about this in some of our Theory 2 classes about judgment and how to judge somebody is not, I guess, a more of a spiritual act to do.
Yeah, I think that can become a really interesting topic in and of itself, the whole thing of being judgmental, that when you are open-minded, again, you do know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. And at the same time, you are not judgmental. Now, judgmental for me there, I'm not one that decides your level of consciousness, your degree of awareness. All right. Now, I can uphold my principles and not condone what I call bad behavior, and believe that everybody out there is doing the very best they can with what they know. And so most people are trying to get by with avidya, with ignorance. And they're doing the very best they can with it. It's just that they're working with a reality system that is missing pieces, that they don't have the benefit of this multidimensional approach to life, that you're not looking through the Trinity as a lens to view your life. And you're either in denial or you're polarized on a certain aspect, which is problematic. And in order to really find solution to that, somebody has to, first of all, assume responsibility. And in the framework of doing that, all you can really do is be an attractive outsider and hope that somebody wants whatever it is that you've got, because you can't impose this on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very different than a belief system. It's very different than accepting the Nicene Creed as, you know, this is what I'm going to run my life by, is that this prayer, which to me, it really, it's like venerating a map, venerating instruction. This is instruction to do something. This is a map to go somewhere. And so you're putting all your efforts in something that isn't really giving you what it is that you, or what it is intended to do. And that is avidya. That's what in yoga we call ignorance. But once you can try and figure all of this out, that it was all instruction to do something, and this concept of sitting at the right hand of the Father meant something that was much more experiential right now. And in Kriya Yoga, we call that having the benefit of internal support, that you feel connected to something that's pure, powerful, and sacred. And that is what gives you calmness, confidence, clarity. Then you recognize that I have a mind. And my mind is connected to this realm of endless possibilities. And so that by learning how to use my mind, I can actually start to create my reality, provided that I believe that I'm good enough. And if you are attached to something that is pure, powerful, and sacred, you definitely have that belief. Then you can start to emit your thoughts with the power of intention.
Yeah, that was really good. That was a really good explanation. So just real quick comment maybe. Oh, no, I may have to wait for that for another show. We're going to have to start breaking down our show for the day. So listeners, so in closing, I'd like to invite you to please visit our website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. And then from there, you can make posts about this show or comments about shows you would like us to consider to do in the future. But do keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming, because we do enjoy hearing from you. Be sure to tune in next week. We have a big show for you next week, a lot going on. We have Father's Day, we have the summer solstice, and also International Yoga Day. So we're sure to have a great program for you. So Swami, any more final thoughts about today's discussion?
No, I'd like to wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.